Galatians chapter 6, if you're not already there. Galatians chapter 6 is where we will be spending our time this morning. Hope everyone is having a good week, had a good week this past week, and a blessed day to be in the house of the Lord. As Pastor Rennie mentioned, it's a little bit cold and gray out there. But, you know, we are blessed with some beautiful weather for the great majority of the year. And so getting to experience what most of the country gets to experience a lot more than we do, a little bit, is not too terrible. We went back, obviously, for Christmas back to Illinois, and I was expecting there to be tons of snow and stuff. And they got like 20 inches a couple weeks before, but it all melted. So we had beautiful weather while we were there, and then they've gotten like another 10 inches since we left. So it just gave us some beautiful weather there, and now we come back, and now it's a little bit cold and gray. Pastor Andy and I took a trip to Idaho, moving Jerry Franklin on Thursday, so I got to see a bunch of snow up in the mountains, which is beautiful. I just love living in a place where we don't have snow most of the time, but if we want to, we can drive like an hour and go see snow. So if you're like my wife and you love snow a lot, we can just take a trip and go see it. And then if you're like me, you can just live here and enjoy not being in the snow. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. This morning, we're going to be looking in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to be keying in on verses 7 through 8. Verses 7 through 8, the idea of sowing and reaping. But the main thing we want to talk about this morning is that actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. And you think in your life that everything that you do has a consequence. If you were like me growing up, I didn't realize that there were such a thing as good consequences until I was almost a teenager, probably. Because every time I heard consequence, it was not good. It was a bad thing. It was like, there's going to be consequences for that, was usually said after I did something that was not right. And it was going to be bad consequences. But we have consequences for everything that we do. Every action that we make has something that will follow thereafter. Realize there can be both good and bad consequences in our life. If you work a job, if you continue to work hard at that job, you will be paid. If you decide not to work, you decide just kind of be lazy and slack off, eventually you're not going to be paid. There's consequences for both of those actions. If you are as a child, you do good, you're going to have good consequences. You're going to be able to do things. If you do not act right, there's going to be bad consequences. There's going to be punishment for what you do in relation to that. As Christians, though, are we living in light of the fact that there are consequences for our actions? Or are we just kind of going about life thinking that, you know, whatever happens will happen? When we get to Galatians chapter 6, Paul up until this point has been dealing with some very specific things with the church at Galatia. As he gets into chapter 6, though, he kind of just is going through a bunch of different things kind of at the end of his letter. Maybe not the main points of his letter, but he's just kind of hitting on some things he wanted to touch with the church there. But when we get to verses 7 through 8, we see some points that are made here that are a reflection of the previous chapter, which we're going to look at in just a second. But verses 7 through 8, let me read them again. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." In just two short verses, Paul really hammers home two points here and answers two questions, or asks two questions to the church at Galatia that is still applicable to us today. Something that we need to be considering as we go about our lives as believers. Before we get into this morning, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you that we can open your word up today, that we can do it freely, that we can do it without fear of persecution. Lord, I thank you that the same truths that you were telling to Paul and telling to this church at Galatia are still applicable to us today. And Lord, that we can look at and we can apply to our lives and ask ourselves these same questions. I pray as we look at this text this morning that you would open our eyes to maybe some oversights on our part, or maybe some things that we are doing purposefully. And I pray that you'd help us to leave here this morning renewed in our focus and being focused on you. And Lord, desiring to please you in everything that we do. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Pray that you bless everything that happens that is said and done today. In Jesus' name, Amen. The first question that we see Paul asking the church at Galatia here this morning, he says, are you mocking God? Now, not in so many words, but he does it through three very clear statements that we see. The first one here is, be not deceived. It says, be not deceived. You see, Paul earlier in this letter alluded to the fact that the church at Galatia kind of had a propensity to be deceived. Over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This is early on in his letter. He's saying, how can you be so deceived? How are you allowing yourselves to believe these things that are false? Obviously, we understand the majority of Scripture deals with people who are believing false things, especially in the New Testament. Most of the letters are not written just to say, hey, hope you're doing well. They're written because there was an issue going on, whether they were believing false prophets or they were believing false teachers and people that were bringing things to them that were not according to what God had for them. But the church at Galatia obviously had a problem with that. You know, before we get too comfortable, like, wow, I can't believe the church at Galatia was like that, or I can't believe that the church at Rome was like that, the church at Ephesus. Are we like that? Do we allow ourselves just to easily believe whatever is told to us? You know, I think our culture is really going the direction where we just believe whatever comes along next. We see that in a lot of different areas. In a comical sense, I see this every time I see an As Seen on TV ad. And I think about the fact that people actually buy those things. And if you're one of those people and you actually get use out of it, I totally understand that, because there is actually some valuable things that you can get out of those ads. There are also some very interesting things in those ads. Anybody here heard of the Flowbee? So the Flowbee is a hair trimming thing that is hooked up to a vacuum. And so as you cut your hair, it just sucks all the hair up, which is actually brilliant, because every time my wife gives me a haircut, I have to sweep up all the hair. It's just a mess. But in one smooth system, you can get a haircut, and it sucks it right up. I can't imagine something going wrong with that. I can't imagine there being any issue. There is also a thing called the slob stopper. So this is a little thing that you put over yourself as you're driving, because you know as you're making your morning commute, you're drinking your coffee, everyone spills every once in a while, but if you're especially slobby, then you're going to want to have the slob stopper, which then catches everything in this little tray type thing, so then you don't spill it all over yourself. I do feel like, though, if you're having that much of an issue that you need the slob stopper, maybe you shouldn't be drinking your coffee and driving at the same time. And then one other one that I came across is called the Zoomies. So these are binocular glasses. So have you ever been, like, standing far away from something, and you're just like, man, I wish I had a pair of binoculars. I could see it a whole lot better. Well, they made these things that are actually eyeglasses that are actually magnified, so you can see really far away what's right over there. So I could see the ushers right there as if they're standing right next to me. I can't imagine the issue with wearing eyeglasses that are magnified by 30 times every time you walk around. You just start running into things. But, you know, they wouldn't advertise these things and continue to advertise them if people didn't buy them. Because, you know, somebody's sitting there and they're like, oh, that, I need one of those. I hate picking up hair off the floor after I give a haircut. You know, I really wish I could see further away. You know, it's a comical example, but are we carrying that same attitude into spiritual things? Are we going about our lives and we hear somebody preaching or teaching on TV, like, oh, that sounds really good. I've always wanted to be a better me. I really want to believe what that person says. That just sounds good. It makes me feel good. Or you're just kind of going about and somebody comes and gives you some literature and you start reading through it like, oh man, that's, you know, that sounds really good. You know, that's pretty close to what I believe. Or maybe you're watching something on the internet, or you're watching something on television and somebody is mixing just enough scripture in and you allow yourself to kind of believe what they're saying. I was talking with the youth group this morning about the importance that we saw in 1 John, the importance of having discernment when we are listening to spiritual things. When someone is presenting us with spiritual truths, are we exercising discernment, or are we allowing ourselves just to believe whatever is told to us? Paul begins here with understanding that we should not be deceived. We should not be easily deceived. we should be using discernment in every aspect of our lives. And he's reminding the Galatians to do that. And we need that reminder this morning as well. We cannot be easily deceived. The second statement that he makes here is, God is not mocked. You know, a very interesting statement and something that it's easy to gloss over. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. We understand that, you know, God is not mocked. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but God is not mocked. Have we thought about actually what Paul was referring to as he wrote this? Understand, we shouldn't be deceived, but God is not mocked. The idea, the word that is translated here is only used in this one place in the New Testament. It's the only time that it's used. It's used several times in the Old Testament referring to when people would mock prophets. It means to turn up the nose in mockery or contempt. It means literally to have a distaste, a laughable attitude at something. Like, I can't believe that that person did that. Or, I can't believe that they would do that. Or that they believe that. Just a literal, not just a light contempt, but a shock that something would happen. Turning up the nose. It is only one time used in relation to God, and that is in Ezekiel. But here in Galatians, when Paul says God is not mocked, the idea is if you are believing something or you're not focusing on something enough, you're essentially mocking God. If you don't believe what he is telling you is true, or you're not taking the time to live out what he is trying to tell you, we are in relation mocking God because we are saying, oh, he doesn't really realize what's going on. Or he doesn't actually know what's best for me. We are saying that we don't care about what he says. Our goal should be to glorify God in every single thing that we do. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Never forget that. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's in the first place. We are bought with a price, therefore we should glorify God in every single thing that we do. It should be obvious. We should not want to mock God. So he's saying this, but exactly in relation to what is he saying that we are mocking God? He gives us a little insight here in the next statement. That you reap what you sow. The end of verse 7, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what is the idea that one would seemingly be trying to mock or trick God with? That you can sow one thing, but reap another. Or that you can just live your life blindly without that principle being true. Or thinking it's not true. You see, if we go about our lives and we choose to sow in sin, we are going to reap in sin. We're going to reap the things in the flesh, as we're going to see in just a moment. But folks, if we as believers go about our life just ignoring that principle and just saying, I'm going to continue to live my life how I see best, and yeah, I'm going to apply principles to it from Scripture and try to do what is good, but really what I do today doesn't affect me tomorrow. It's just kind of what's happening today. What Paul is saying here, what God is trying to get across here, is that there is consequences for our actions. That what we do today does affect us tomorrow. And it also affects those around us. We can see that in the story of Achan. The consequences that we face, that we're facing now, come from some choices that we made in the past, whether good or bad. You see, when we choose to sow in sin, we are separating ourselves from God. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So I want to ask you the question, what Paul is asking the church at Galatia here. Ask yourself this, am I mocking God by making choices without considering their consequences? Am I making choices in my day-to-day life just kind of doing them because that's what I do? Or am I making choices that have an impact on me spiritually and I'm thinking about the eternal consequences that will come thereafter? If you are a part of a family, you should also be thinking about these consequences that will affect your family, that will affect your church family, that will affect those around you, that will affect your testimony for Christ. our consequences our actions have consequences. And if we live life just kind of ignoring that, then we are mocking God, because he is telling us that they do. He's telling us very clearly that what you do does have consequences. And if we reject that fact, we are in fact mocking God. And I promise you, and I can guarantee that nobody here wants to be said to be mocking God. I would hope that that'd be the furthest thing that you would desire to be described of you. But if we live our lives ignoring consequences, that is exactly what we are doing. But what is the second question that Paul asked the church of Galatia? We see in verse 8. He gets down to it. He says, are you sowing in the flesh or the spirit? So we understand that we should be living our life thinking about the consequences, but what are the two choices that we have? What are the two things that we can be living our lives in that affect the consequences in the future? He begins here and he says, for he that soweth in the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. Two choices with two consequences. You see, Paul was reflecting here on just a chapter earlier, in chapter 5, verses 19 through 23, if you want to turn there with me. He gave a very clear explanation of the difference between living in the flesh and living in the spirit. Beginning in verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The idea here, he's pointing back to this. Remember, he's like, I just talked about this with you about the flesh and the spirit. So think back to that. Think how when you choose to act either in the flesh or the spirit, how that is going to impact you for eternity. You see, we have two choices of the harvest. When a farmer plants his fields, and I speak there as an authority on farmers being one, when you plant your fields, you expect to reap what you sow. You don't go, I worked for a farmer growing up, and he didn't go and plant the corn in the field and expect for soybeans to come up. And he didn't go and plant soybeans over here and expect the corn to come up. You're going to reap what you sow. And the two choices that we have here in this harvest are, first of all, sowing in the flesh, and how the consequence of sowing in the flesh is corruption. The word corruption here means destruction, decay, or death. It gives the idea of a corpse that is rotting, something that you wouldn't want to go anywhere near. It is dead, but it is foul and disgusting. The person that lives in the flesh, as we saw in chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, is clearly stating that they are not a believer. The idea here is that this is a lifestyle, that this is a pattern of behavior. Someone that is living this life, they are stating that they are anything but a follower of God. They are following after their flesh. And therefore, the punishment for them, the punishment for this lifestyle is eternal separation from God and the lake of fire. Job talked in chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Those that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, those that are living a lifestyle following after the flesh, that are doing the things of the flesh that we saw in chapter 5, living in idolatry and the witchcraft, they have hatred, all these things that are a pattern of a lifestyle, they are stating that they are opposite against God. And they are stating that the consequences that they are going to bring on themselves is destruction, is that decay, that lifestyle that will be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. This lifestyle is something that is very descriptive of the world we understand. Someone that is not saved. Someone that has not accepted God's free gift of salvation. So therefore, why would we want to identify with one part of this as believers? Paul's trying to get across the point here. If there is anything in your life that you can look to and you identify with the works of the flesh, simply stop it. Stop living that way. Stop identifying with the world. Stop identifying with someone that is eventually going to be in eternal punishment if they do not turn from their wicked ways. If we as believers want to identify with Christ with our words, we need to identify with Him with our actions. And what he is saying here is that this lifestyle should not even be an option for believers. In Romans chapter 6, Paul talking to the church at Rome, he stated, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." The very strongest statement, there, absolutely not should we do that. "How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein?" Folks, if we are dead to sin, which happens as soon as we turn our lives over to Christ, as soon as we have repented of our sins and accepted that free gift of salvation, we are now alive to Christ and dead to sin. Therefore, the works of the flesh should not apply to us anymore. This does not mean that we are not going to sin anymore. We realize that we still live in the presence of sin, but we are still going to fall into that sin. But it should not be a pattern. It should not be a lifestyle that describes us. It should be something that when we fall into that, that we immediately turn to Christ, we ask for that forgiveness, and we get right with Him, and we turn back and live for Him. But you see, folks, if we as Christians are living our lives in the lifestyle and the life of the flesh, we're identifying with the world. We're identifying with those that are still alive to sin and dead to Christ. But if you have Christ inside of you, you should be dead to sin and alive to Christ. There should be a marked difference in your life. So what is the second choice? We see that sowing in the Spirit results in eternal life. You see, genuine believers that live their lives emulating the fruits of the Spirit show that they have eternal life. If we live our lives after the fruits of the Spirit, as we saw in Galatians chapter 5, we are telling those around us that we are redeemed, that Christ has bought us with a price. He gave His life for us, that we have accepted that gift of salvation, that there is a change in us, and that we no longer identify with the works of the flesh. We now identify with Christ. And that we live our lives focused on Him. You see, at the moment of salvation, Christians have eternal life. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." At the moment that we accept Christ as our Savior, we have everlasting life. We have been given the opportunity to live forever in heaven with our Savior. To live forever where He has us, where He has us to be able to be heirs with Him, to be joint heirs with Christ, to be able to live with Him in the glory that He has for us, which is another benefit of eternal life. See, the eternal life goes beyond just living forever. The benefits of eternal life we can't even fully comprehend. One commentator wrote that eternal life, of course, is not merely life that lasts eternally. It is rather God's very own life, the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, graciously bestowed upon the children of God through faith in the Redeemer. Eternal life, we get the benefits of living the life that God has. Living the life as one of His redeemed, as one of the chosen that He has brought up into heaven with Him. But folks, if we decide to do the works of the flesh, if we decide to, as they are listed, participate in adultery or fornication or uncleanness or lasciviousness, we have had messages where we've looked at what each one of those means. If we choose to do those, and to make them a part of our lives, we're saying that we don't want the benefits of eternal life. We're saying that we don't want what God has freely given us. We're saying, I would rather live my life enjoying what I have right now than to think about eternity. I would rather continue to have this temporary pleasure that I have on earth instead of think about how that can impact me for eternity. We're saying that I would rather live my life for me and ignore the opportunity to tell others about Christ and miss opportunities to lead others to Him. And instead, I'd rather just live for me. You see, our actions have consequences that don't only affect us, but they affect those around us. How many times have we, while living in sin, missed opportunities to tell others about the hope there is in Christ? While we have been doing something sinful, while we have been living our lives for ourselves, have we missed an opportunity to tell someone how they can have eternal life, how they can have freedom that will last forever? Folks, we get so caught up in what we want. We get so caught up in what's best for me. We forget about those around us. We forget about the people that we are even the closest to. Think of people that you go to school with, people that you work with. Do they know that you are a Christian? Do they see in your life a life that is sowing the works of the Spirit? Because I guarantee you, if you are living your life sowing in the Spirit as a lifestyle, it will stand out amongst the world. Because when we read the descriptions here in chapter 5, there is nothing similar about the two different descriptions. There is nothing similar about the list of things of living in the flesh and the list of the fruits of the Spirit. They are markedly different. And there should be a marked difference in us as believers. If we are comfortable just going about our lives blending in with the world around us, we are missing opportunities that God is giving us to tell others about His Son. We are missing opportunities to ultimately bring more glory to our Heavenly Father. We are thinking of ourselves, which we do so easily. We are not thinking of those around us. And we obviously are not thinking of our Heavenly Father. Just as we were mocking God if we just ignore the fact that there are consequences to our actions, if we even more so live our life in the flesh, we are directly mocking God. We are directly going against what He has for us. So ask yourself the question, does my harvest reflect the flesh or the Spirit? Are the things that you are seeing being reaped in your life, the consequences of your action, are they pointing back to a life that has been lived in the Spirit or a life that has been lived in the flesh? Each action has a consequence. You know, as we're teaching my daughter different things and she's getting to the point where she is remembering things, it's a lot of fun. It's also very scary. But as we teach her different things and what is right to do and what is wrong to do, and I can see the things that she can remember in her eyes. You know, when she grabs the TV remote and it's on and my wife and I are watching something and she looks at us and she pushes the power button, she knows what she's doing. And when she goes over and we tell her not to touch a trash can because it's dirty, and she looks at us and she touches it, it's at that moment that I know that she knows that there is a consequence for her action. And as we as believers go about our life, how many times do we do that? Do we do something that we know is wrong? And we kind of look and see if somebody's watching. Many times we like to do it in secret, but how many times do we do it understanding that God is watching? Because God sees everything that we do, and yet we decide to just continue to go about our lives as we always have. The fact that God sees what you do, the fact that He knows everything that goes on in your life, if we live in light of that, it should change how we act. Because we need to understand that everything that we do impacts us in the future. And impacts those around us. So today, are you living your life in light of the fact that your actions do have consequences? And are you sowing in the Spirit Or are you sowing in the flesh? Because, folks, it has an impact for eternity, whatever you answer to both of those questions. If you're here today and you say, well, you know what? I do live in the flesh because that's all I've ever known. And I mean, I've tried to do good, but my lifestyle's pattern, I guess, it is in the flesh. Because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today is the best day to get that right with the Lord. It's the best decision that you could ever make. It's better than deciding where you're going to go to eat or deciding who you're going to spend your life with. Each decision we make every day has consequences, and they can last a long time, but nothing is going to last longer than the decision that you can make to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because before you do that, you don't have an option of living between the flesh and the Spirit. You just have the flesh. When you accept Jesus Christ, you can begin to live in the Spirit. And you can begin to live out those works that we see of love and joy and peace. And not a love and a joy and a peace and a long-suffering and all those that is like what the world has, which is a very misinterpreted version. But the purest love and joy and peace and all the rest, that comes from God. And Christian, if we are living our lives today focused on the Lord and focused on the consequences of our actions, it should change how we live. You know, Pastor Randy, Pastor Mike, whoever comes up and speaks up here, we don't just get up here and say things just because it's something to say. Because the goal is that all of us, including those of us speaking, that we leave here changed. That we leave here seeing something that maybe we have been lacking in our lives. We have said many times, we are thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the people in this church. And you guys are our family now. But I would be wrong to say if I didn't think that there is people here today that need to hear this. People here today, including myself, that need to focus on the consequences that come from our actions and how we need to live in the reality of that. And folks, if we don't leave here changed, then we are not growing in Christ. We are not desiring to become more like Him. And that should be our utmost goal in everything that we do, to bring God glory by living our lives focused on His Son. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we have the opportunity to live in the Spirit. Lord, we do have a choice because You did not create us as robots. But Lord, You want us to make the right choice. You want us to live for You. Lord, I pray that You would help each and every single one of us as we leave here today to be contemplating our lifestyle and think, am I sowing the works of the flesh or am I sowing in the fruits of the Spirit? Lord, I pray that we would be able to see in our lives as we go forward those fruits that come forward because we are living in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a testimony to those around us, to consider how our actions affect those around us, and that the consequences will last for eternity. Lord, I pray if there is someone here today that does not know You, that has not accepted You as a personal Savior, that they would see that as the priority for their lives today, or to be the greatest decision could ever be made in their life. Lord, I pray that You do a great work this morning as we go throughout this day. Thank You that we are able to worship You and that we have the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, we love You. Thank You for sending Your Son to die for us so that we could even have this hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to number 320.